Good morning and greetings in the name of our Lord. I was inspired already this morning, and especially in our Sunday school, you know, presenting Jesus is something we should all be passionate about. And the Hebrew writer is very passionate about Jesus and presenting him as the answer to man's need, the one who was sent by God, the one who is superior to all the prophets and angels and everyone who's ever gone before. The mouthpiece of God to man to declare to us the Father. So, and I was very, very blessed. Appreciate the presence of everyone and welcome our visitors here today. I'd like to speak a little on finding assurance in life. Life is a daily walk, and plans are laid and made, and circumstances change. We meet many forks in the road that require decision. You know, where shall we go and how shall we do? And we're not always sure which way to go, and there's not really always a clear yes or no, good or bad. And yet our choice definitely leads us down a new and unknown path. That's life. You're all aware of that. You've experienced it. Shall we fear it or shall we embrace it? Shall we hesitate or shall we forge ahead? How can we know? And that is where I'd like to bring in this thought of assurance. Assurance of God's leading and an assurance that we are in his will. God has given us what we need to tread the path of life and to not get lost or make wrong turns, even though the choice may not be good or bad, right or wrong, yet we need to decide. And if we do make a wrong turn, he has also shown us the way to get back on track again. I'd just like to share our testimony this morning a little on in that regard. When we were first married, Ruth and I both had a call to missions. That was what we both felt the Lord was calling us into, and we had been asked to go on the mission field, and we were prepared to give a positive answer. And but God had different plans for us in the in that interim period of time after we had been asked and we were making a decision. God gave us a little girl with special needs, and it changed everything. Soon after that, we were ordained into the ministry, and over the years, because of our interest in missions, the Lord gave us many opportunities to be involved from a distance, and also directly and indirectly in all various types of mission work, and in asking other missionaries to go and opening doors for missions and things like that. It's always been a priority. But it was 25 years before the Lord actually opened the door for us that we were able to go into a foreign mission field ourselves. And it's interesting that this little girl that the Lord gave to us that actually delayed our ability to go to the foreign mission field became an instrument that God used in a tremendous way in the work that he called us to there in Romania. And just for one example, I'll give you. We were, one of these last times we were there, standing along the street and visiting with one of our next-door neighbors. an older lady now, and she had been divorced and remarried, and was, even though she was claiming to be a Christian, she was acknowledging that she was not a victorious one. But in the course of the conversation, she told my wife, she said, I'd like to bring you into the house to show you something. And so she went in, and there on her television, in front of her television screen, she had propped a little picture of Francie. And she said, she was here. She had evidently been there to visit her sometime, which she often did to our neighbors. And she'd given her a picture of herself. And she said, this picture is here in front of my television. She said, it's always been there and I'll always stay there. I'm not going to take it away. And it was because of the impact that she had left there. She'd often go to visit these ladies and to pray with them and just to show them her care. And this meant so much to this lady that she had put this picture in front of her television. She wanted to take my wife in and show her. Anyway, I'm saying this because in that period of 25 years, the Lord led us down many different roads, and there were many decisions, and he finally brought us to that point. And now we would like to be home with our grandchildren and our children, but he hasn't released us yet. We're asking him to release us and to allow us to come home. But so far that hasn't happened. And I hope it will, and I expect it will. But it's going to be in his time. And I'm just saying that to help us to understand that even though we don't know the road ahead, God does have a plan. And the important thing is that we are walking with him and that we are walking according to his will, and we're being faithful to the call that he gives us exactly where we are today. And he will lead us from there. All right, turn to Exodus chapter 4. I just want to read a few verses here about the call of Moses. Now, Moses sensed God's call when he was a young man, a fairly young man. But it wasn't until 40 years later, after God had taken him through the school of the wilderness and the life of a shepherd, that he finally came with the call, come and set my people free. You are going to be their deliverer. Moses had lost his self-confidence. He had lost his initiative almost to be that man that God could use for this purpose. I'll read the first three verses in Exodus 4. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from before it. Now let's go to verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he shall be glad in his heart, and thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye should say. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. The emphasis here is on the rod. I'd like to kind of focus on that rod for a little bit. He says, thou shalt take this rod in thy hand. God gave Moses this rod for a special purpose. And as we see Moses through the next 40 years, we see that rod being a very close companion with Moses. He clung tightly to that rod. And the rod, Moses and the rod could not be separated. And the rod was used many times to the glory of God. A symbol of God's power and his presence in Moses' life. We also can find assurance in our dependence on God's promises. And that's where the rod comes in. God told Moses that that you take this rod and you use it for my glory. And there was power in that rod, and it was a symbol of God's presence to him. God also gives us rods like that to hang on to. Moses, when he left Egypt, he faced the greatest challenge of his life, and that was to lead the people of God, deliver them from the bondage of Egypt, and to lead them into the promised land. And this staff represented his assurance of God's presence and power. And when we are walking the pathway of life, and we think we have our plans laid out, our plans are made, and we think that we are going in a certain direction. You know, God may take us there, but he may take us around the way of the wilderness, like he did the children of Israel. Not a direct path to the promised land, but through the wilderness. And in that wilderness journey, we need to have the assurance of God's presence and his power and his leading. And he gave just that to the children of Israel. We need it as well to stabilize and reassure us. And, you know, God has given promises from his word and examples from the great heroes of faith. And as his children, we can cling to these and we can use them as markers along the way for ourselves. It's like he says there in Hebrews, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear. You know, the unknown has something about it that is trepidatious and fearful, except to those who are walking in faith. If we are walking the walk of faith, fear is displaced by faith, and we can walk in the assurance of God's leading. We don't have to be afraid of the unknown because we know that wherever God leads us, he is going to be there with us. And he will be our helper, and we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He also guides us by his Holy Spirit. There, as they entered into the wilderness journey, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. So whether they were traveling in the daytime or in the nighttime, God had made provision for their leading with this pillar of cloud. In the daytime, a cloud; at night, a pillar of fire. Symbolic of being led by the Spirit. We find assurance also based in our walk as we walk in the Spirit, honestly desiring to live a life pleasing to the Lord. If that is our desire and if that is our commitment, again, we can reach those decision times, those forks in the road. And we can make a decision based on our commitment to God. And God is not going to lead us down a road against our will. But he will give us the grace to walk it with him. God gave the Hebrews this pillar of cloud and fire so that they would know by day and night that he was with them in the journey. And we have the seal, we have the earnest of the Spirit. That's what the Bible calls the Holy Spirit, is God's down payment. It's his confirmation of our being led. We also have the Bible. We have the Word of God. And the Spirit is not going to lead us where the Word of God, where it would be contrary to the Word of God. And so we have that also to help us along the way and to determine, make a determination. Is it the Spirit of God leading us or not? As the Hebrews look to the pillars of cloud and fire, we can look to God's word, which the Bible says is spirit-breathed. It is inspired by the Spirit. That means it's spirit-breathed. The Holy Spirit was sent to be with and to dwell in the believer day and night, and he will guide us and keep us on the journey. Another thing that Jesus says, he promises strength and wisdom for those unknown tests and temptations and decisions that lie ahead. He told the disciples in Luke 21, he said, "Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom. Settle it therefore in your hearts." If that is our experience, if we have settled it in our hearts, God is in control of my life, and I simply desire what he desires for me. It's going to be make it easier for us to surrender to his will and to his leading. We find assurance based on God's promises to care for us. Jesus warned his followers of coming persecutions. That's probably the most difficult trial. One of the more difficult trials that are faced by Christians is that aspect of persecution, opposition, and whatever form it might come in. Christians of every age have had to face that possibility. And it should be reassuring to us to know that even when we feel like we are alone, that the Holy Spirit is still there with us. He will comfort us, protect us, and give us the words that we need when we need them. And as we have this assurance, he can give us the courage and hope to stand firm for Christ, no matter how difficult the situation. And in conclusion here, Romans 6, chapter 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And that is a promise that comes, that addresses the end of the journey. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. We shall reign with him. But we have to start living with him today, don't we, if we're going to expect to live with him in eternity. We find assurance when our hope is based on Christ's resurrection and the promise of the hope of eternal life through his finished work, and not by our feeble and many times flawed efforts. Because of Christ's death and resurrection, his followers need not walk in fear, but in faith. And so, as the pathway of life stretches on before us, largely unknown, especially for the youth, with its many decisions and twists and turns, we can walk it in with the assurance and confidence that if when we are walking in the Spirit with a heart to please our Heavenly Father and our confidence in his finished work, not in our own wisdom and understanding, but just a walk with the Lord, a walk of faith, a walk of trust, and of commitment, a walk of obedience, that God is going to bring us to a good conclusion. But it may be through the wilderness, probably will be, but he's there as well to lead us. And so may that give us some assurance and some confidence and brighten the pathway before us as we come to those times of decision. Shall we kneel in prayer?